The next case this morning is Cincinnati Bar versus William Farrell, case number 10-1951. Mr. Farrell has waived oral argument. And Mr. Kevin Roberts here on behalf of the Cincinnati Bar. Mr. Roberts.
Thank you, Your Honor. Madam Chairman Justice and members of the court, may it please the court, we intend, in light of the respondent's waiver of oral arguments and this court's docket this morning, to make only a brief statement of our position and then to be available for any questions. We submit that the decision of the entire Board of Commissioners overruling the majority of the hearing panel and adopting the dissenting member's opinion is correct in light of the unusual circumstances of the case. Relator believes that this case, as unusual as its facts are, falls within a cluster of this court's decisions involving inexplicable conduct and unusual fact patterns. Although each of these cases do not refer to one another, we believe they represent sub silentio, this court's posture in dealing with inexplicable or bizarre behavior, to use respondent's words. In such cases where there is no reliable explanation for the respondent's misconduct and therefore no reliable assurance that the misconduct will not reoccur following discipline, reentry into practice cannot be accomplished in the face of the greater risk to the public's confidence in the integrity of the bar. Where such bizarre misconduct exists, any interest of the respondent in proportionality of sanction in comparison to other acts where there is a reliable understanding for the misconduct must give way to the more fundamental interest of the public. The majority decision of the panel is comprehensive and meticulously sets forth the facts of the details of the grievance. In its discussion of the sanctions to be imposed, however, the decision attempts to make a comparison of this court's previous decisions involving misconduct attributable to understandable motives in determining sanctions. The majority's decision in discussing the sanctions states that, notwithstanding our view that respondents' conduct was reprehensible, given existing case law, we are reluctant to permanently disbar a respondent from the practice of law, nor are we able to confidently establish a time frame within which we believe respondent would be able to return to the ethical practice of law. They were on the horns of a dilemma. The dissenting board member adopted by the entire board recited the unique factors and found permanent disbarment to be indicated and distinguished the tax cases, the cases in which the respondent had failed to file taxes, and found there to be a systematic manipulation of the disciplinary process occurring here. The cases that I referred to, Lentis, Mishler, application of Aboya Day, Deaton, Overman, and Shabazz, all involve this kind of inexplicable conduct. There is not a mental health issue or mental illness issue, at least that was expressly disclaimed by the respondent in the 07 proceeding, and no causation was proved in this 09 proceeding. As this court has noted, because each disciplinary case is unique, we're not limited to factors specified in the rule, but may take into account all relevant factors in determining what sanction to impose. And so we respectfully submit that under the Rules of Professional Conduct 8.4, B, C, D, and H, that permanent disbarment is warranted. Make myself available for questions.
Any questions of Mr. Roberts?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. And the matter will be submitted. You'll be advised, as will Mr. Farrell, the outcome at the appropriate time.